WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
sick. And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a free Twitch sub available, you can use it for free for here for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lizzy Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday. We survive a Thursday. That's what counts the most. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's at Rack Radio Show. That's Ward. Call to WildTalkRadio.com. Maybe RackRadioShow.com for sure. And Twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live tonight.
It's been a week, y'all. It's been a week.
It's been a week. It's been one of those weeks, but that's okay. We're here. We get to talk wrestling, sports, entertainment, professional wrestling, whatever you want to call it tonight on the show, because that's what we do on a Thursday night.
That's right. And I say we don't waste any time. We jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And we have good news for Demolition. They are headed into the WWE Hall of Fame.
It's a long time coming for Demolition. People have been kind of pitching for them to be in for the last few years. And this year is finally the year that they make the WWE Hall of Fame. So that's good.
I'm happy for them.
Yeah, it's a big deal. They'll be able to show up in Vegas and have that final big moment in the sun with the fans, and sort of while they're still around, and get the moment. So that's good.
Absolutely. And well, if you want to check out the Hall of Fame, WWE, in partnership with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, today announced that the 2026 Hall of Fame ceremony will take place on Friday, April 17th at 9 p.m. Pacific at the Dolby Live at Park MGM as part of the WrestleMania 42 week in Las Vegas. The Hall of Fame ceremony will deliver an unforgettable experience for the WWE Universe, headed by the Class of 2026 inductees Stephanie McMahon, former WWE chairwoman and co-CEO, Grand Slam champion AJ Styles, and Demolition.
I'm going to stop you. Stephanie McMahon, former chairwoman and co-CEO, Grand Slam champion AJ Styles, and Demolition.
I know. Sitting here, I'm like, don't laugh. Please don't laugh. Please don't laugh. Like, oh, you guys couldn't like say that they're former tag champs or something. Like,
this is what happens when they put the press release together before they went and Demolition.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because this came out like an hour after the Demolition announcement, so it's like we just gotta slide their name in, and we'll make it up to them at some point. And Demolition, and go.
Additional inductees will be announced in the coming weeks. So, you know, at least Demolition made the press release. The additional people didn't even make it.
They'll be on the next press release. They'll be fine. When they still need to sell some more tickets, they'll be on the press release for sure. Get your tickets now. Continue.
Speaking of which, tickets will go on sale starting Tuesday, March 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at Ticketmaster.com. Fans can purchase tickets during an exclusive pre-sale by visiting Ticketmaster.com starting Monday, March 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. So in case you aren't already paying enough WrestleMania weekend, now guess what? You can pay more to go to the Hall of Fame.
So SmackDown ends at 8 p.m. Pacific. Hall of Fame is 1 hour later.
Everybody is going to be hauling ass over there.
So if you're going to do both, you better. Let's figure this one out. Okay, so WWE Las Vegas SmackDown. Where are they this year for this one? They're at the T-Mobile Arena. Interesting that the link to go get tickets doesn't work.
That's got to be downtown Vegas.
That's good that link doesn't first for the T-Mobile does not work. So let's go make sure it's still there.
Somebody get their web team on the phone. Somebody.
Because it's the first. It's the first Google search. There it is.
Actually, it's literally right there. They're not going to be as far.
Yeah, they're not far. Yeah, I'm looking at the map. Yeah, the Garden Arena is across the street. About 20 minutes. Probably in Vegas, 15 minutes.
Not even like. It's literally right there because they can just like go out, because I'm sure what they'll do is people will start leaving to go over to the Hall of Fame and get set up because it's the like MGM is like right there.
I meant crowd wise, probably take 15 minutes to get out of the building, and if they're going to do
You don't wear anything nice. No.
No, which has not been a thing lately, so it's fine.
No, you don't dress up anymore for the Hall of Fame, which is a little sad, but it's fine.
The venue looks cool.
It's totally fine.
The venue looks cool, though. It's a nice little building.
The venue does look cool. It's very classy. It's very nice.
Indeed.
So, you know, go check it out. Go get your tickets if you want to go to the Hall of Fame. And, well, if you can't go to the Hall of Fame, you can always buy 2K26. Because we have DLC updates, everybody.
Yeah,
Season 2.
By the way, WWE 2K26 comes out officially next Friday. Early events is tomorrow. Just for people. Woo-hoo! Anyway.
Let's go. So, for Season 2, you can get Demolition, Axe Smash, and Crush. And you can get Kelly Kelly. Season 3 will be Brian Pillman, Tori Wilson, La Parca, and Matt Cardona. Season 4 is The Hardys, Lady Shawnee, and Jelly Roll. Season 5 is Bam Bam Bigelow, Brie Bella, and Pagano. And Season 6 is Octodon Jr., Earthquake, and Typhoon.
There's still two names to be announced for Season 5 and Season 6, because it's going to be 4 each in the passes, but they've not been announced. They've been announcing them trickling in all throughout the day. So, like, we knew about Axe Smash and Crush, Demolition that came. That was cool. Kelly Kelly was announced tonight. People are happy. She can finally stop complaining that she's not in a video game after 13 years. So, she finally gets one. And she'll be available in April. Brian Pillman, that's cool. Tori Wilson, first time in the 2K series. So that's a big deal. Matt Cardona returns. Jelly Roll, who was an 80 overall, will be in season 4 because they kind of announced that on ESPN2 when they did the reveal last week for ratings that he was in the game. So that's a big deal. I thought he was going to be base game, but apparently he's DLC in season 4. So that's July, I think. Brie Bella, late addition because she just returned back at the Rumble. So good they got her in. And as you can see throughout all the season so far, except for season 2, a lot of AAA representation.
Mm-hmm.
And your first
good.
And your first TNA representation is the Hardys, because they are the reigning and defending TNA Tag Team Champion.
Can we just, at this point, say that the Hardys just belong to the industry and that they represent everybody? Because I feel like they've been everywhere and done everything.
Oh, yeah. They're WWE Hall of Fame. Not Hall of Fame. Soon to be Hall of Famers at one point. WWE legend. So it makes sense they're in the video game. Because of their WWE ties, but it's interesting that they are technically a TNA contracted wrestlers in a WWE game. So that's interesting to note.
It is, in fact, interesting to note. Moving on, if, ladies and gentlemen, you would like a framed 10x20 March 30th, 2026, name on canvas collage with a piece of match-used canvas, so you can put your name on a piece of match-used canvas from WWE. Well, you can go get you some right now at WWEshop.com for the low, cheap, bargain basement price of $399.99.
So the way I see it, they're going to be putting names on the mat, and then I think selling it afterwards. That's, I think, what the deal is.
So the way that they describe this is that Monday Night Raw has been a wrestling institution for decades, and for the first time ever, you can own a piece of the action with this framed collage, fitted with a piece of match-used canvas featuring your name as you saw on TV. This 10x20 piece showcases iconic Raw imagery, celebrating the spectacle and excitement of WWE's flagship from March 30th, 2026. What sets this collage apart is the inclusion of a genuine piece of match-used canvas featuring your own personal dedicated piece of history. So yes, I think that's exactly what they're doing.
They're selling, you put your name on the canvas.
So just think, a wrestler's ass might be on your name.
For $400.
For the low price of $400. I mean, shit, let's get to, why not?
But act fast. What? It says almost gone. And this came out a few days ago. It's kind of scary. Like, they're almost gone in terms of,
I kind of wonder how many there were. We'll know come March 30th, because we'll see.
But it's get yours now, I guess.
If you want to do it, it's your money, no shame. That is a very interesting product to offer, though.
Yeah.
Because it's specific to Raw NYC. That's the show that it's going to be on. So I'm sure it's a show from, like, the Garden.
Well, yeah, it says Madison Square Garden, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, it doesn't say but it's Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it doesn't say Madison Square Garden, but it does.
It is Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, it just says New York City, New York.
Because that's a copyright that they can't use.
Yep, that is exactly what that is. So, I mean, if you want to get it, if you don't want it, don't get it. No shame either way. I will not be buying one because I can spend $400 somewhere else.
Yeah. But if you have it to spare, like green shirt guy who shows up at every event, by all means, go buy put your name on the canvas.
I want to know what that dude does.
Oh, he's there every week with ringside seats.
He's got to be a plant.
No, but no, point. He is not, though. That's the thing. People have looked into it. He is not.
That is insane. What do you do, sir? I need to know.
What good investments, like, what do you have?
Like, how much money do you have? Because that's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. Because you have to fly somewhere, and then you have to pay for front row. And I think front row is like a grand a pop.
At least.
We have questions, sir. We have many questions. You need to answer them if you hear us. Anyway, moving on. This will make, I think, some people happy. Not to celebrate or guffaw at all, but This kind of goes hand in hand. So Alexandra Williams announced on her LinkedIn that she's been promoted to the vice president and the lead writer in the company for Monday Night Raw, and I believe SmackDown as well.
I think she's Raw. I think she's just Raw.
I don't know who's taking SmackDown then. And following this, it was announced, I believe, by Road Dogg himself.
No, it was broken on the internet by people, not Road Dogg.
Oh, okay. It was broken on the internet by peoples, not Road Dogg, that he is officially finished with the company, and he is no longer a part of WWE Creative.
All right, and so we'll do the Road Dogg thing now. The details for the Road Dogg. He was head writer last year, then became co-lead writer. So, demotion. A lot of blame for the three-hour SmackDown last year that was not creatively fulfilling at times because he was given a roster of 2 hours rather for a three-hour show. So, SmackDown kind of suffered. And a lot of creative ideas kind of suffered, and they've had to make a lot of changes, which is why he got a co-lead writer for the show. And he was unhappy in his role. He was unhappy being in the company, which means creative burnout. Is what we would like to call this one, creative burnout, and probably doesn't want to burn friendships because of burnout.
Yep.
That's kind of the deal.
Yep.
That one, because he was very defensive a lot of times on Twitter about stuff. And as we saw on WWE Unreal, he voiced opinions sometimes and kind of was very passionate about things. And you could tell the pressure was getting to him. And it's probably been getting to him for a while, and because of a lot of the criticism that WWE is under at the moment, based off for creative, changes had to be made. So they promoted Alexandra Williams to lead writer for Monday Night Raw, and the creative direction for SmackDown, I believe, is under Ryan Ward, I think, now.
Go Ryan.
But again, that still could change as the days and weeks go on that you're probably making. They've been planning shifts in creative for a while, and they want to shake it up a little bit because they need a little kick in the ass sometimes, because you can get too complacent. And while the shows are logical and work, sometimes you need a little bit more. So hopefully now, with some shakeups and sort of putting feet to the fire now, creative may get a little bit stronger because it probably needs it.
Refresh is always good. Sorry.
Because at this point, you need to gain the trust of the fan base long term and give them reasons creatively show up to your shows.
And I think that's where we're seeing maybe some of this pressure come from too, because there has been a lot of criticism on the creative for the product on the whole. I think you and I have both said that it's not the most engaging thing that we've been watching. And you can tell that leading into this WrestleMania season, especially, I was going to save this for when we were going to talk about Chamber, but I'm kind of sort of meh on Mania right now. Like, normally it's like, by this stage, you're super jazzed up and you're excited for Mania, and it's like, yay, it's coming, and they're going to do all this cool stuff. And this year, it's just kind of eh with the show. And I think it's been like that for a minute with creative, with the stories that they've been telling, that it's just sort of been eh. Like, it's fine. It works. It's entertaining. But in comparison to some of the past things that they have done, it doesn't really hold a candle. And there's also been some just questionable things that they've done, and you kind of sit there and you look at it and you're like, yeah, I don't know if I can go down this road with you guys. And I'm not putting any blame on anybody, but I'm just, you've seen a definite decline in the product, especially over, like, I would say the last year or so, where it's not as good as it was a year ago.
Because they were banking on star power that did not exist creatively, so they lost some ideas. They've also relied on the brand name to sell itself, and it has sold itself. Now, when the brand name isn't selling itself as strong as it can't say that. I want to say the brand name isn't selling as strong as it could. It also sold 18,000 tickets last Saturday, like for Chamber. So it's like, you can't say it's not selling because it's selling, but you can see there is a little bit of a decline coming. And creatively, they're keeping afloat. The creative's not bad. It's just not because you have to elevate character. You now to And the problem is when they started to elevate characters, injuries. So that doesn't help directions there where you lost Rollins to injury. He's now back. You lost Bron Breakker. He's out. Bronson Reed, out. You lost John Cena, who was the creative focus of your brand for a year. Killed his character off in December. You lost AJ Styles. So
I would argue you killed the character off a lot earlier than that.
No, I'm going by his definition. At the end of the December 16th, or whatever the date was, when he passed out or tapped out, he killed off his character. That is what he is going with for what happened. That was his idea. Spend a year, when you realize what the final year was, and at the end, he wrote John Cena off television. Like, he killed his character off. That's what he did. There was a finality to it. He said, that's how he defined it. As far as WrestleMania build, and we're going to get in the chamber in a bit, and we got a couple more pieces of news. But regarding the WrestleMania build, people need to remember, WrestleMania didn't always get these long builds where you knew the card 7 weeks out. One of the greatest WrestleManias to ever exist, which was WrestleMania 17, right? People would argue that it was a really good show. Three or four matches were at it within the last 10 days of the show. Some randomly thrown together that Monday on Raw. They were announced. So I want people to realize, not everything gets the long build, and there's a lot of, like, we don't know our directions and all the things. It's great, but not everything has to be put out into the universe 7 to 10 weeks beforehand. Because if you tell us 10 weeks beforehand, these are all the matches, where's the story to get to the matches? Should we know more of the card? Yes. And are we learning more of the card? Yes. People gotta, like, remember, all the past cards were thrown together and announced. You got a lot of matches in the last 2 weeks, and people really enjoyed them. And supposedly, there's 16 matches coming for WrestleMania.
They're tonying it?
Well, over two nights. 16 over two nights. So it's 8 a night. So not tonying it. Because they are under the pressure of putting it, you need at least one major match to open the show each night.
I would agree with that, and I acknowledge that. But my thing with it is... you can add matches later. Like, we don't need to know the full card up front, but the matches that we should know, or we do know, should be enough to carry the show to get to that point where we can add a bunch of stuff at the end. And I feel like this year they're carrying, like, they're doing what they're supposed to do, but they're not doing what others have done in the past.
We're also we're 7 weeks out though.
We're 7 weeks out and they're building, right? But it's like, just on paper, it's like CM Punk and Roman Reigns. That's great. That's a good match. That'll be entertaining. They haven't hooked us yet though.
No,
and
there is a lot of hookers. I would say Punk and Reigns is hooked. That one's doing well for people, reaction wise. That one has people. By tomorrow we'll have the top four matches. And the reason why I said they need a big match to open each night, they're on ESPN and ESPN2.
Ooh, they're giving it away for free. Look at them.
The first hour are on free television. So anyway, that's for another time.
It's kind of routing it back to creative, though. I'm sorry that Road Dogg has lost his job. That's never fun. I hope he can find his mojo back.
He quit.
Okay.
Well, he did. He walked in and quit in person. Apparently.
I mean, good for him for doing it. I think that might have been a little bit more mutual than we.
Oh, probably.
Guess. I would imagine that there have been several meetings and discussions about that. That led to what he did. Because you just don't, like, up and quit like that, unless you're just really fed up and then go off. But, like, I feel like the way that this all went down, especially since they had a successor in place for him, was that, because this is really fast in the corporate world, is that basically there was a mutual parting of the ways, and that's what happened. And they let him basically say that he quit. That's what I feel happened. I could be completely wrong, but that's just knowing corporate, that's what this feels like. But I hope he can find something else. I hope he gets his mojo back. I'm curious to see what Alexandra does and how she handles things, and if we see, like, an improvement in the creative going forward, because it's a difficult position for what they do, and I don't envy their writing team at all, because that has got to be a bitch to write a show that runs 52 weeks a year. And you have to be coming up with constant, fresh stories with multiple characters and just doing everything that they're doing. Like, that is an insane level of writing that I think nobody else does. And so it's a hard job. It's a very difficult job. So I think anytime they do creative refreshes, especially when somebody is experiencing burnout, that's always a good thing.
And it's a lot harder now to keep it fresh when all the content gets put out on social. So you're trying to do social engagement. You're trying to keep everything fresh and keep everything, you know, moving. And you have to play to all the different platforms you have to do stuff for. You're on Netflix, you're on USA, you're on ESPN, you're on Peacock for a little bit, you're on Twitter, and you're on TikTok, and all the things. You have to keep everything moving and everything coherent, and it's harder to, and when you're limiting the amount of talent you use on a weekly basis, because you're trying to play to both sides. You're trying to be creative, but you're also trying to please the wrestling fan who wants longer matches. So when you do longer matches, less talent gets showcased. And then you're forced to, some people aren't on the show every week. And that kind of, you have a lot to, not to handle. And it's hard to keep it fresh every week when the show's been running for 30 something or 42 WrestleManias. Raw's been on the air for 30 years, 33 years now. People have seen everything. And it's hard to keep everyone happy every week, and with the constant feedback they get, it's hard to take what Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all the people say and then look at the audience and what are they enjoying in the arena too. So it's tough. They're in a tough spot, and they've always been in a tough spot, but it continues to get harder the more social engagement grows, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, that's where they are.
So moving on, Dave Finley is All Elite.
Yeah, he's finally joined AEW after his New Japan run has ended. There were talks he even made join WWE, but he went to AEW, which probably fits his style more. He was offered a WWE NXT, you know, contract, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted main roster, so he's going to AEW.
And in other news, Mance Warner and his wife, Steph DeLander, have quit TNA Wrestling over a medical dispute.
Steph DeLander had neck surgery about a year or 18 months ago. She's been on the road to recovery, and she has made some claims on the internet about their medical staff in TNA, but TNA, the ruling was they don't want to clear her. She had neck fusion. They don't feel like they don't want to be responsible and clear her, which in their position, I don't blame them, because if they clear her, because she got cleared by other doctors, TNA Medical did not clear her. If I'm TNA, they probably can't afford something if something were to happen and that injury, that fusion did not take. They don't want to be on the hook. And I don't blame them for this, for where their company is. I don't think they can afford it. And at some point, you just can't do it. So they quit and go try to work elsewhere. She's trying to work elsewhere. He'll try to work elsewhere. But again, you can't. At some point, you can't risk it financially. No. And that's where they are. They're not WWE. They're not AEW, where they're not billion-dollar companies.
I have to wonder if there was something in her medical as well that gave them pause, because neck fusion is always risky, but I wonder if they were like getting information back that it was, I don't know about this one, like progressing like they wanted, or the doctors were just like really unsure about it, like, or it just simply was, we're not willing to take the risk.
According to her, WWE medical cleared, their doctors cleared, TNA's didn't.
But TNA wouldn't.
Yeah,
that's unusual.
No, because
that's really unusual.
Because TNA doctors, probably TNA doesn't want to be on the hook for it. WWE could be on. WWE Medical can afford it. TNA Medical can't.
Oh, I know. It's just, normally, it's like in the past when we've seen stuff like this, normally WWE will not clear and other companies will.
Yeah, but this was not substantial neck fusion. This was typical neck fusion. If that makes sense. Because of a bulging disc. It wasn't, nothing was broken, according to her. It's a weird situation.
It's a very weird situation, but I hope it works out for them.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I say we take a break. What do you think?
Let's take a break.
Alrighty, so when we come back, we will be talking all about Elimination Chamber, which was this past Saturday on the ESPN. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a Keishi. It's WTR Sunday Night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK. In the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Are you going to say something about Wild Talk Radio or what?
I sure am. Every time we get a chance, we check this out. WildTalkRadio.com. You should too if you want to be on the inside.
This is Axe, and I'm Smash. Then you better listen to Wild Talk Radio, or we're going to kick your stinking teeth in.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk all about Elimination Chamber, which was this past Saturday on the ESPNs here in the United States and the Netflixes everywhere else. This was a show.
Show? Supposedly. Yeah, it says might think differently. I thought this show was enjoyable.
It was entertaining. I mean, to me, it was not the most knockdown, drag out, balls to the walls, exciting show that they've ever done, but it was a show. Like, it did what it needed to do. And I can't complain about that.
Again, it advanced us to WrestleMania and advancing us the stories along. Was it crazy and now spectacular? No. Was it a solid show? Yes. Did it not have the big moment that last year's Chamber had? No, because you really can't top last year's big Chamber moment.
I will say the only disappointment is that one of the most exciting moments happened after the show was over.
But that's
good. That's, I think, my one criticism of it.
But that could only happen based on what happened during the show. So you can't get that without the ending of the show.
I know that, but it's you did it. They did it on a program that not as many people are going to see as have watched the show potentially. Unless and I say did. That because I had already turned it
off. You turned it off. That's the only reason. If you left it on, for 5 more minutes and sat through the one ad break,
post-show. They don't do anything on the post-show.
That is a lie. They do things sometimes on the post-show. R-Truth
sometimes.
Yeah, and you don't know exactly when they would. Last year, the Chamber, the Rock spilled all the creative guts and then left. John Cena at one point put R-Truth through a table on a post show. They do stuff. They have angles. Now they're going to make sure you watch the WrestleMania one because you never know what could happen at the end of the during the post show. Because speaking of the post show, people were so mad on the internet about it. Where oh my God, Triple H didn't go out in front of the crowd. He did a backstage interview with Jackie Redmond instead of facing the crowd this time. People on the internet are so mad about this. I don't know. Maybe because you idiots start chanting shit that you shouldn't be chanting at him. Maybe that's why he did a backstage one this time. Maybe that could be a reason. If you stop chanting Vince's name or chanting AEW at the WWE guy, maybe he'll go back around in front of the people for the post show. Just maybe. Or maybe he was busy. Who knows? The internet was mad about it.
There's a reason we can't have nice things, and it's usually our fault.
It's usually their fault, but oh, he's a coward. No, it's you guys ruined the fun. That's what happened.
Here's the thing. If you're going to go out there and be an asshole about it, they're going to take it away. It has nothing to do with cowardly. It's the idea is we're going to give you this and everybody's going to behave themselves and we're all going to have a great time, right? That's how this generally is supposed to work, regardless of whose show it is. If it were AEW or TNA and they were doing the same thing, the expectation would be exactly the same, that you don't go out there and you don't act like a bunch of assholes. But if you do, they're not going to keep doing it. Because it's counterproductive. They don't have to do it at all. Or they can just as easily do it backstage away from the people. They can find a way around it very easily, apparently. But they were doing it because they're hey, this is a great way to involve the fans and have it be interactive and it'll be fun for everybody. And then people had to be people, right? And that's why they did it. If people could mind their manners, it would be great. It would be fine. We would probably still have it.
And who knows? They'll be back out there in front of people at WrestleMania.
Probably.
Anyway, let's talk about this show. What was the highlight for you?
I think the highlight for me, I actually really did enjoy the AJ Lee and Becky Lynch match. I thought it was very good. It was exactly what I wanted on this show. I also thought Punk and Balor was a highlight for this show. The chamber matches were the chamber matches. But I thought the two singles matches were standout on their own, which they should be. Punk and Finn went a lot.
Both of those singles matches were complete opposites of the other. One had interference, one did not.
Mm-hmm. And Punk and Balor went a lot harder than I thought they were gonna go. They were far more aggressive, especially as they built to the end, than I thought that was ever possible. Like, there were a lot of mouth injuries on this show. I think almost every single match had one.
Probably. Because sometimes you hit hard, you get kicked in the face, as CM Punk did during his match. It happened. People are going to be bloody, right? People are going to have a bloody lip. People are going to get their black eyes like CM Punk had.
Tiffany Stratton's teeth.
She should start wearing a mouth guard at this point.
She needs to. I was going to say, she just needs to wear a mouth guard at this point, because, yeah. But what stood out for you?
I like the main event finish. I thought that was done. I was disappointed in Javon Evans. I thought we would have got a little bit more out of him in terms of a big moment and spot in the chamber match, but they went the safe route, which is fine. He did get to dance around for 5 minutes before and just bop around on everyone's thing and was over with the crowd, which is what you wanted to see. And I thought the women's match, the chamber, was good. I think they have a lot with the women's division. That's the best I'm going to say. It's like they have a lot of talent there that need direction and spots on the big show. And supposedly they're going to get them, but I don't know how many of them can. It also looks promising of the division of there's some talent there for the future and the present. Because Kiana James is going to be something, and they seem to be ready to do something with her. Tiffany looks back in form despite getting her teeth kicked around a little bit. But she's come back and looks healthier in the ring. I think the year as champion kind of wore on her a bit, and she looks to be in better shape. She's never not in shape, but she looks trimmed down, and that might be for the bodybuilding thing too. But she looks more energetic in the ring a little bit. Like, she's doing more. Mm-hmm. I thought Alexa looked good in the spot she had. I think Raquel is primed for a good year. I thought the chamber match worked for the women. And based on what happened last Friday, the outcome was pretty much expected.
Yeah, I think that is the best thing I can say about the women's match, and that's not a slight on it at all. I actually enjoyed the women's chamber a little bit more than the men's. But you can tell where the future is going for the women's division, and it's very bright. Like, Kiana James had a very strong performance. And I'm very happy about that for her.
To go along with a bunch of other strong performances that she's been putting together in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, but the chamber is kind of one of those matches where it's like almost like a make or break thing, you know, where it's like you can be plugging along and doing your thing, and then you kind of hit the chamber and it can either make, like, you can do really well in it, you can do all right in it, or you can do really bad in it. So I think she is definitely coming into her own. She's settling out. And I'm looking forward to seeing her grow. Raquel is another one that she is continuing to grow. They're building her. She's kind of, I think, beginning to come out of that, like, Judgment Day stuff. Wasn't a huge fan of her gear, but, like, I think character-wise, she's starting to come into her own. She's becoming more cocky. She was doing a lot of, like, jaw-jacking during the match, especially when she was in the pod, and she was kind of talking shit to everybody. I really liked the moment between Rhea and Alexa that was the callback between them from the last time they were in the chamber together, where Alexa was in the pod and Rhea, like, leaned up against the glass. That was a nice little moment.
I also found an interesting moment. She got caught on Rhea's gear, or Rhea got caught on Alexa's gear, whatever it was. They got tangled for a second.
Yeah.
Had to get unhooked. Also, it was a little awkward for the Sister Abigail, because I don't think Rhea knew how to take it. She wouldn't bend, but they made it work. But beyond that, it worked. I think
it's a height difference.
No, it's not. It was not a height difference. She just bent down the wrong way, the wrong angle. On the wrong side. And it just didn't work the way they'd hoped. But they figured it out. So Rhea winning wasn't a big shocker after Friday. It's the money match they want to do. It also really leans into the thing of, they were really banking on Bianca, and Bianca just didn't make it. So they had to plan B it.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. And you couldn't go back to Tiffany and Jade. So you couldn't. You were really left with no option. That you had to settle for Rhea and Jade as the match, because I don't think it was the plan, but it ultimately became the plan once Jade's injury or Bianca's injury did not recover as fast as they had hoped.
No, and that's fine. I am not disappointed in Rhea. Like, Rhea and Jade will be a good match. It will be entertaining. They will be able to bounce off each other. The promos will work. Like Rhea can do a lot in terms of helping Jade really first through that first WrestleMania season as a champion, because Rhea's done it before. So she would actually be a really great mentor for Jade in terms of this.
I need to stop you for a second. So, yeah. Internets.
Yes.
And observers.
Yes.
So when the social medias, they have to use social media to build a feud, right? Building it. Like Rhea was saying stuff and Jade's been saying shit and talking shit at each other on the internet. When observers of the wrestling have to chime in and tell you it's a work, those observers of wrestling who try to protect the business are blowing the business apart by calling it a work. WWE is trying to sell some tickets and they're trying to cause drama. And immediately, not even 12 hours into them starting their shit on the internet, oh, it's a work, guys, don't worry about it. Way to kill their story before it even starts. Thank you, observers of wrestling. And then every copy and paste website who got the transcript of their radio show and had to make it clear, hey, it's a work. Boy, howdy. You really shit the bed on giving them a chance to be creative. Let them talk their shit. Who cares if the people think it's real? That's the fucking point. Continue where you were going. That's just the rant I had for days.
Say, do you feel better?
Yes. About that subject, yes.
I second all of that, by the way. Ditto. Like, we know it's a work, okay? They're feuding for WrestleMania. Like, Rhea won the chamber, so she and Jade are talking shit. So yes, of course it's a work. They're feuding.
And they're gonna use other characters, other people. Piper Niven chimed in and Chelsea, like, create the drama that no one likes Jade. That's the point.
That's the point.
We know
that's
this.
That's the point, guys.
But don't tell us it's a work. You could, because they all complain about Unreal and telling it's a work. Well, guess what you just did?
Right?
You just did the same thing. Anyway, Jade and Rhea should be fine. We'll be a fine meeting. I don't know if it closes the show, but it'll be a good match. Honestly, you can put that on ESPN on open Sunday. People,
I mean, it would be a good
it.
Opener.
Yeah,
it would be a strong opener, and you get that on, and I think a lot you get them in front of as many people as possible, and I think it'll be okay. I personally wanted somebody other than Rhea. Like, I would have been fine with Alexa. And that's my own personal bias, because I want to see Alexa kind of go back into that title picture, because she is such a strong character. Like, I know she's in the thing with Charlotte, but Alexa is such a strong player, especially in the title when she has the title. And so I would love to see her get another shot and get the chance to hold the title again. But again, I have no problems with Rhea. Like, it will be a good match. It'll be entertaining. The back and forth will be good. There's a nice balance of personalities. They'll talk a lot of shit to each other. It'll be great. I think it was just kind of one of those, they went the very expected route on it, but they really didn't have a choice given the people that were in this match and the plans that they're going forward with. So it's like, I don't want them to go expected, but that's what they had to do, because the problem is they have to sell tickets, and there are other names on here that they could sell tickets, but I think with Rhea's popularity being what it is and its holding power, they saw it and they were like, yeah, we have to do the thing. That's it.
It is.
So, but the match was good. The only thing I was like really worried about in the match was like the way Raquel was throwing people around. Like, there was one point that I think she had, I want to say it was Tiffany or it was Rhea. And she was like, because it was when she was throwing people over the top rope back into the ring, and she was just chucking people like sacks of potatoes. It's like, girl, you gotta be more gentle than that. I know it's a wrestling match and I know it's supposed to look rough, but you're not just supposed to drop people like that.
The double pin was great, though.
The double pin was fantastic. Like, I think Raquel had a really strong showing, and I very much, which she needs to have. Because if the intent is to build her and bring her out from essentially under Liv's shadow, you need to give her that strong showing. You need to make her a dominant force, especially if you're going to have Liv potentially take the title off Stephanie. That's when you have Raquel look at Liv and be like, hey, you remember the Royal Rumble where you eliminated me? Yeah, now I'm going to take my revenge and I'm going to take your title with it. Or she fucks over Liv at Mania, and that's what kicks off that feud. But either way, Raquel needs to be in a really strong position if you're going to put her back into singles competition, because she's been sort of like chilling and coasting as Liv's heavy for a really long time. So you need to bring her back out again, which is good that's what they're doing. Let's talk about Punk and Balor a little bit more. I like the pairing. I thought what was interesting was the ending and the fact that Finn was sort of like watching and waiting for the Judgment Day to interfere, and they never did.
Yeah.
That was a good little storytelling moment.
Because he told them not to, and they didn't, so they listened. And he's at peace with it. But I thought they had a physical match. I thought they worked well together. I thought they worked well again together in Ireland. There was nothing wrong with it. This match was really good. It was a very good hard-hitting wrestling match that you like to see on these shows, because it was completely different than anything else. And it didn't need multiple false finishes at the end. It didn't need run-ins. It was a straight-up wrestling match. And the better man on that night won. And that's different in WWE on most nights. It's also different in any promotion, where, because you always have to have this big moment, this big epic thing. Sometimes just the better man wins, and it doesn't need to be 15,000 big spots. It just needs to be a good old wrestling match, and that's what it was. So that was my thoughts on that match.
Yeah, I second all of that. I thoroughly enjoyed the match between Punk and Balor. I wouldn't mind seeing it again in a different context with possibly higher stakes, with a stip or two. That would be interesting.
Maybe.
But if we also don't get it, that's fine. But I think it did what it needed to do for Finn, especially at the end afterwards, where Finn was kind of sort of a little bit of a sore loser, but he ends up shaking Punk's hand anyway because it was an honorable defeat. Again, bringing people out of the Judgment Day, bringing them back into singles competition. That's what we're seeing them do for Finn. They're rebuilding him into a semi-main event contender that they can inject into feuds. And so this was a very, very, very good showing for him. And he can continue to build based off of that, which is what we want.
Yeah.
Okay, can we kind of talk about the elephant in the room?
No, not yet. We got to talk about Becky and AJ.
Okay.
Talk about Becky. I thought this was a strong performance for both. I think Becky's had some good matches lately, but she's been trying to elevate talent in the process. This one, she didn't have to elevate. She just had to guide. And I thought AJ kind of played the part that she needed to do very well in this one. I thought she held the crowd. I thought she looked good for someone who hasn't worked this type of match in a very long time. She kind of found her groove a little bit, and that's what you like to see. I think Becky looked confident in the role, and like she's had matches with Lyra that's kind of gone wacky at times, and things have gone wacky in some of the matches where their big ideas didn't work out the way they did. The spots they needed to work here with the ref bump and the simple thing with the corner, with the turnbuckle, they all flowed well. They didn't overthink their spots. They didn't try to be too creative. They just went creative enough where we need a ref bump. We got the ref bump, and we got to it creatively. We didn't have to bring in 1,000 gimmicks to get to that point. That's what I really liked about it, and it was the right result. It kept the interference out of it, which is good. Didn't need to get, because you didn't need it, especially with the ref bump, and especially because the main event was having a bunch of interference in a match that shouldn't have interference, which was good. And it's going to push Becky to a point where AJ's the one she can't beat, and now she has to figure out how.
Yep.
Because this is now 3 losses, 3 tap-outs, and AJ has her number.
I liked how they did the ref spot, and I like how Becky sold it afterwards.
Yeah.
With the social posts and, you know, everything going on with Jessica Carr. I thought all of that was a fantastic follow-up on all of that. The ending was really good. I think it was it shouldn't have been a surprise that AJ won. Like, it really shouldn't have been, but it kind of was. It's like, oh, okay, all right, we're going to do that. All right, I'm not angry about it. I guess it's kind of one of those things that it's weird that you weren't expecting it, and you're like, I wasn't expecting it, but this isn't really what I wanted. Is that bad?
I guess I was expecting it, and I got what I wanted, so I was expecting her win, and I thought it went exactly as it should.
I think they worked really well together. And as to your point, Becky didn't have to carry. They were able to both carry each side of the match and bring something to the table that worked, which it, I think is a nice change for Becky, because she's not doing more of the work than she needs to be. And she can sort of do her own thing in this. And there was like a very relaxed quality in this that was nice, because it's like, okay, I'm working with somebody that I want to work with. Not that she doesn't want to work with everybody, but like, you could just tell that like Becky was enjoying it and AJ was enjoying it throughout.
They didn't have to over deliver. They delivered.
Yeah. They understood the assignment and they handled it accordingly. But yeah, this was good. AJ is your brand new women's intercontinental champion. She came out after Punk's match. She wouldn't kiss him because his mouth was bloody. But there you go. So Punk retains, AJ picks up a title, and now they're co-champions. And Punk was dressing up in both belts, butt-ass naked. So there you go. There it is. Now do we want to talk about the elephant in the room?
You can by all means talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay, the box. Oh, mystery. The box that has been on Raw and SmackDown for weeks, and everybody's like, what's in the box? And the whole time I'm like, please God, if somebody's in the box, drill a hole and give them food. Because we all figured that it was a somebody in the box. For the record, the somebody that was in the box was a group of somebodies. It was a very large, it was a large box. It was a deep box.
It was a box in a box.
It was a box. It was a box with a coffin.
Yeah, which is a box.
It had like 20 people in it.
I want to say 20. Well, there was enough.
They just kept coming there for a minute. And out came, after Pierce and Aldis cracked the box open and washed their hands of it and just walked away, which I thought was a really nice touch, because they're like, yeah, I don't want to do with this. I don't want to do this at all.
It's your problem. It's their problem now.
Yeah. Out came a series of dancers.
Ghoulhausen.
Very recognizable. Huh?
Some Ghoulhausen
to accompany a Danhausen, who made his debut on Elimination Chamber. I have one criticism of the dancers. I can't tell if they got cued late or what was happening. I think they got cued late, because when they were coming out, they were like coming out in the way that they were supposed to, but the dance started. And so they were like trying to make up and catch up as they're coming out. And it just kind of like, they were out of sync, and you could tell they were out of sync.
There were a couple
that like lost their way or their place or something. I'm not sure what happened, but like it was the whole time. It wasn't just that one moment. They were just like, there was like one in particular in the ring that kept getting out of sync. And I'm like, just line up. Cause that's the way I am. So like, I thought the presentation was good. I liked the dancers. I liked the smoke at the end. You can tell who watches like AEW or is familiar with AEW, is familiar with indie wrestling, and who is not. Danhausen is one of those characters that if you have never experienced Danhausen, number one, get ready for a treat, because he's very entertaining. He's a merch selling machine.
Clearly, so already. Yeah,
they are going to make a shit ton of money with him, which is probably why they signed him. Like, I'm thrilled for him. This is amazing that he got signed. I hope it goes super well for him. But he's kind of one of those niche wrestlers that you really do have to know who he is. And I think it was mixed in terms of who knows who he is and who doesn't. Because the people who know him are like, oh yeah, this is awesome, this is great. And other people are like, who the fuck is this? Like, literally, who the fuck is this? And I don't know how you describe Danhausen to people, other than he's very nice and he's very evil and he has a thing of teeth. But he's a comedy wrestler, comedy gimmick, and that's the best way I can describe him. Like, you literally have to experience Danhausen. There's just no other way to get around it.
He's a very good talker. I don't know what will translate in the ring, but he's a very good talker. He's good comedic timing, and that should help him long term. In the ring, I don't know what he can do. Especially, he would be great for them if they did live events. He'd be a great live event character. Just pointing that one out. Don't do them as much, except in Europe. So Europe, enjoy. He'll also work well in AAA. He can do some comedy down there. They have roles for him, so that will be good. I think Saturday it was left. He came out to his dance and then just disappeared, and that kind of left people going, "Huh, okay." You didn't give them the full experience of him interact. He's good playing off people. So why Monday worked compared to Saturday is because he got to interact with people. He needs people to play off of, and doing a dancing show is one thing. He'll be fine. The internet's come around on him already. They're back in pro housing, and so that's good. We'll see what they do. I don't expect much from him in the ring, but
no.
He'll be a great character to have on television, because you need someone like that to lighten the mood at times when things get way too serious.
Agreed. I'm going to echo kind of what they said on Sunday on WTR. I think people were honestly expecting someone else, and thank God it wasn't them. I escape yet again. But like, I think people were honestly expecting someone else and not Danhausen, even though they kind of, to your point, telegraphed sort of what it was going to be, I think, on SmackDown.
They've been since the first thing, they put the comedy wrestlers by the comedy box. So you should have known,
but I think that's what people were expecting. I think so when Danhausen came out, it was kind of like, what the hell's going on? And then it's also something of some people are not familiar with him. They don't know him, which is why it's generally when you're bringing somebody in like that, it's always better to start them in NXT. Which I'm kind of surprised he didn't go to NXT, but it is what it is. And so I think they're just going to have him like just build him on TV and use him as comic relief on TV. And that's how people are going to get to know him, which is fine. But I think that was like really the main thing, was like people were just expecting someone different, and then he didn't really do anything. He came out with his dancers, it was a nice presentation, and then he bailed, right? And that was it. There was nothing else to go with it. And so I think everybody was just generally confused about what was going on with it. Like, I don't know if having him debut at Elimination Chamber was the best call. But we'll see how it goes. That's the best I can say, is we'll see how it goes. Like, they've already kind of started with him on a Raw.
It was a step down from Cody selling his salt last year, so everything was going to be a letdown.
Yeah.
Last year, your big surprise was Rock, Cena, Travis Scott, and John Cena, and Cody and John Cena heel turn. This year, you got Danhausen.
Budget cuts. That's what happened. Budget cuts.
Yep. Gotta make them profits.
Gotta make that money. But yeah, no, I hope it works out for Danhausen, because this is definitely an earned place. He deserves it, and I hope he shines. And I hope he makes a shit ton of money. Get that bag, dude. Get that bag. Do it for us all. All right, final match. Let's talk about the men's Elimination Chamber, which featured Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Strickland, and Logan Paul.
You will Jey Uso out of this match.
Yes, Jey Uso was in the match. He was taken out of the match. Logan Paul was put in the match. Logan was with Austin Theory and Paul Heyman. And yes, we did have a masked man.
Men.
And he did go for Logan Paul.
Because there's a couple.
There were multiple.
And one climbed the cage, leading to a distraction. And then the masked man of Seth Rollins returned and took out Logan Paul. Logan Paul, who beat three people in the match, by the way. Basically probably what Bronson was going to do. They just had they had Logan Paul do it. You had an LA Knight slip.
Oh my god, that almost ended so badly.
Almost ended bad, but it was fine. But the masked man of Rollins led to a Drew McIntyre appearance, costing Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes got too locked onto to Drew, and he forgot about the snake that comes out of nowhere to bite with his venom of the RKO. And cost him, which now puts Randy in the main event. The match was good. Let's get into it. Randy's now in the main event.
Yeah, it was fine.
Randy's now in the main event. But his challenger is, who knows, whoever the champion will be. Because Drew interfered, Aldis was upset. So Aldis gets mad at Drew. They have heated words. And then Nick Aldis had enough and books Drew McIntyre in a match tomorrow night on SmackDown for the WWE Championship against Cody Rhodes. Now, storyline logic, Cody shouldn't be getting said title match because Three Stages of Hell was the end-all be-all and it was written into the contract that Cody gets no more shots at Drew. Yet, because Drew crossed the line, which is what they're going to use, he's going to say, screw the contract, the match is happening. Which now is going to alter plans for what will be WrestleMania. We spent a long time last week going, what are they going to do? They got three-way, four-way, five-way, six, whatever it's going to be. But looks like we're going to settle on a singles match, so you're going to keep the Elimination Chamber meaning something. You just might be changing who the champion is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that's a viable option for your main event, because then you have six weeks of television to build that story.
It's a little convoluted. It's a little ass backwards, but when you've written yourself into a corner, you have to find your way out of it. And I would rather them do it this way because it is logical. Like, the title can change hands at any point. So it's not necessarily set in stone that Drew will be the champion at WrestleMania. So that's fine. The only tricky thing is that they basically were like, fuck it on the contract and just sort of threw that out the window, which at this point, it doesn't matter.
But it is making logical sense because he pushed the general manager too far. The general manager told him not to show up. So he broke his rule. He showed up. He interfered again because he's been doing that multiple times. So he's pushed the law too far. Drew can have some claims afterwards. He probably will open SmackDown with a claim of not wanting to defend it, and they'll still probably defend it. But you're at least making it doesn't logically work, but it's also logically working.
It's logically working, but my issue is that and I'm going to cite it, is that a contract is a contract. It is a legally binding thing. So if the stipulation in the contract between Cody and Drew was that legally binding, that Cody gets no more shots, period, end of discussion, then Aldis can't take matters into his own hands. He can't take the law into his own hands and throw out that contract because it's, again, legally binding, technically, in the story of wrestling. And so that is Drew's claim to potentially work his way back into the match is to legally cite that Aldis had no right. And he could come out tomorrow night and be like, Aldis has no right to do this because we all agreed that if Cody lost, he gets no more shots. And it doesn't matter what Drew does because Drew's actions afterwards do not inviolate that contract. Or do not violate that contract, period. End of discussion. Because it's been executed already.
And yes, to make it clear, it is happening in Portland. They told you multiple times, as Matt said, in Portland.
Is it in Portland? I wasn't sure.
They made it very clear that it is, in fact, in Portland.
But, like, that's my only issue with it. But it will work logically because, no offense to Drew McIntyre, I think the better match would be Cody versus Randy. Just because you have way more history there. And if you're going to do the Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton feud, you need to get it done sooner rather than later. Because we don't know how much longer Randy's going to be around for. And he's getting ready to take his summer holiday. So,
Unless he wins,
then he's going to be the champion for the summer, which good on him if he is. Like, if he try to run out of it. But you have so much history between Cody and Randy. A lot of it has not been addressed. You can really tell a very strong story, especially within 6 weeks, to get this to Mania and set this up. And then if you want to have Drew try to weasel his way in, you have Drew try to weasel his way in. But honestly, I would rather see it be Randy versus Cody, just because this is one of the matches that I have wanted to see because of everything that's gone on between those two.
So what it will ultimately end up being, it'll be Randy versus Cody for the WWE Championship WrestleMania. It'll be Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu because Aldis will use Jacob because people believe they could do Aldis and McIntyre, but Fatu will represent Aldis in the fight. Like, he'll handpick him as his opponent for WrestleMania and they'll do a Las Vegas street fight or something crazy. You know what I mean? They'll do some sort of match, big match. So you get Jacob and Drew, you will get Randy and Cody. So Randy and Cody on top, Punk and Roman on top of two nights. Those are two strong main events for night one and night two. Cody's night one, Roman's night two. That's how you do that one. Then you'll have Jade versus Rhea, Liv versus Stephanie. Those are Liv versus Stephanie would be a good match. I don't know if it's quite the headlining match people hope it would be, but they're both very strong, popular characters, so they deserve to be in that spot. Those are your top four matches. You'll probably have Becky and AJ. You'll have most likely Drew and Jacob. So there's your six top matches. Whatever Rollins is doing, probably with Logan Paul, that's at the number seven. So that's half your card right there. That is pretty much in set in stone for the 14 to 16 matches they're hoping for the show, just off the bat. And you'll have a Brock match. So that's eight matches on the show. And you have a lot of other talent you need to get cooking and put into things to make it all work. But they'll probably be Dom and Finn, most likely, I would assume. You'll have a men's intercontinental title match. You'll have a U.S. title match of some sort. Hopefully the women's U.S. title gets put on there in some fashion as well. The women will do a tag match. When it's all said and done, build aside, it will be a very strong card. When it's all said and done, it'll be a very strong card. It may look a little bumpy, but they've had all the bumps in the road they've had to get to WrestleMania. I know they're not selling, and people probably get blamed for it. It's not the end result's going to be all right. You have 6 weeks, 7 weeks to creatively entice people to go see this show when it's all said and done. So that's where we're at.
It will be a good WrestleMania. Like, it will be an entertaining WrestleMania. Is it the most exciting WrestleMania ever? That remains to be seen. But this overall with Chamber, this was a good show. I don't want to say very good, but this was a good show. It did what it needed to do, and it moves us to the next step in the process, which we are now on the interstate. We are on the road to WrestleMania, guys. We are, 6 weeks away? Which is insane.
6 weeks away, something like that. Yeah.
And we'll see who wins tomorrow night between Randy and Cody.
But we're done.
We're done, so you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio. CBRadio.com. We're doing Would You Rather Strange Records. Saturday, TV Radio. Sunday, it's WTR. Sunday, we'll talk right at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday, it is the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we'll be live to talk about it. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, another edition of The Rack. We're doing something. I don't know yet. We'll figure that part out. It's The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, just search The Rack Radio Show. That Wild Talk Radio is Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Twitch Prime. It's not Prime Gaming. It's Prime. Just click the purple button below the screen. You can also use Rock and Sock or
Lynn's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. When you buy Honkai Star Rail, you buy all the collaborations, including
Lizard.
That is in the game now.
You know, like you do.
It is indeed in the game. And the skin. The lizard from the Pixar movies in the skin. In the game. Hashtag Epic Partner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me in on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbleLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel in MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lynn's Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye. Set the throat. You steal. Blood and bone. You're all by yourself, but you're not alone. You wanted in and now you're here. Driven by hate, consumed by fear. Let the body set the throat. Let the body set the throat. Let the body set the throat. WildTalkRadio.com.